Today I wanted to do something, 15 minutes or so, and go through about 4,000 years of history, okay? So, you know how I like to do that. So I'm calling this a reverse timeline, and it's going to kind of fit in, I think, with what the sermons have been, but then go a little bit further, because I want to start, as the sermons have been doing for the last week or two, with Simeon, because there's something here with Simeon that is really fascinating to me. It just really is. So Simeon in Luke 2, 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Christ comes from the Hebrew word Messiah, okay? The Christos, the anointed, okay? So, the Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul also." Now then, what's interesting about this to me is here's a baby less than 6 weeks old, and Simeon is already calling him Savior. Okay? Here's our salvation. Now then, he was in the temple court, so he was probably speaking Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek, so the word for salvation here is soterio, where we get soteriology, the study of the doctrine of salvation. However, he was probably speaking in Hebrew, and the word for salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua, which in Greek is Iesus, which in English is Jesus. Okay? So he's holding up a six-week-old baby saying, "This is our salvation." He already knew that. How did he know that? Well, we know the Holy Spirit was showing him something specific for himself, but evidently this was not just him that was recognizing this. Okay? So what I want to do is to backtrack through history and kind of see where this leads us. Now then, the complete Jewish Bible reads of these verses, "It had been revealed to him by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah." There's the Mashiach of Adonai, the Lord's Christ. "For I have seen with my own eyes your Yeshua." Salvation. It was already intertwined. Okay? So as he's speaking this. Now then, here's where it gets pretty fun. Because you and I look at Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he's telling these people, so we're 50 days after the crucifixion, and he's saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins," the salvation. We know our salvation comes because we are forgiven of our sins, we are saved from death and saved from God's wrath and into eternal life. So 50 days after the crucifixion, this is the knowledge that Jesus is Savior. And we think, well, of course, we know that. Well, then you look at what Jesus was already saying upon his resurrection with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he says, this is what is written: "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem." So there Jesus is already saying, I'm here for the forgiveness of sins. I'm here for our salvation. Now then, this is after the fact, and we're tuned in going, of course, everybody knows that. So, but if you start backtracking and backing up, we see that immediately before his crucifixion, the night before, Jesus is telling them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The salvation is already there. He's telling them in advance what he's about to do is going to save them. So this is the night before he is crucified. Well, can we go back further? Well, of course we can go back further. 3 years further, when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, Jesus is coming toward him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? He takes away the sins of the world." So we back up just a little bit, and there's that prophecy before Jesus even begins his ministry of what it's going to do, and they already know that. John the Baptist already knew that. Okay, so can we back it up further? Yeah. So we're here 6 weeks after the child is born, and again, this is Simeon saying, "My eyes have seen your Yeshua. I've seen him. I've seen your salvation that's coming into the world, and he is Yeshua, Jesus, Yesu." Can we back it up further? Yeah. About an hour or something after Christ was born, the angels go out to the shepherds and say, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord." So here's the angel just shortly after the birth telling the shepherds, this is who this is. So then you start seeing they've already known this. This is already shown to them who this child is and what he is here for. He is Messiah. He is Savior. How much further can we back it up? Well, of course, Christ is born zero. And just a quick reference, you know, I've talked to some people that that they have in their mind that AD is after dead or after death. But that's not it, okay? This is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, from his birth. Because the problem is, if it's after death, then you've got to account for 33 years that's missing somehow. So, okay, so this is the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. And she gave birth to her firstborn, which is another key element of who the Savior is, the firstborn over all creation, a son unto us, a son is given. Yep. Type of deal, so you keep going back. Well, just a few months before Christ, now we're in B.C., before Christ, we have an angel telling Mary, "Don't be afraid because you have found favor with God. Look, you'll become pregnant, you'll give birth to a son," that's what happened, "and you're to name him Yeshua," Jesus, Yesu. "He will be great, he will be called Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David," another key point of the Messiah, who will be a descendant of David, who will sit on the throne of David forever. He will rule the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. So you keep backing this up, and Mary knows that. Mary knows that before it ever happens. Also, the same angel Gabriel tells Zechariah about the coming of John the Baptist, and within that, he tells about the one who is John the Baptist is preparing the way for. And so Zechariah's response is, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So there you have the salvation and the lineage of David, the Messiah. And Zechariah knows that. So all of this keeps backing up and pointing toward these people knew this well in advance. Okay? Well, let's go on back further. So we come to Zechariah, the prophet, about 500. And I'm just showing you bits and pieces because there are hundreds of prophecies, maybe 1,000 prophecies, of the Messiah in the Old Testament. It's all the way through the Old Testament. In fact, all the way, hundreds of times that the word salvation is used in the Old Testament, it is translated Yeshua. He's been telling the people for ages who this is going to be. In Zechariah, he says, "I'm going to bring my servant the branch." This is God talking to Zechariah. And the word branch is used 2 or 3 times throughout the Old Testament in Zechariah and Isaiah, speaking of who the Messiah is. "So I'm going to bring my servant the branch," says the Lord Almighty. "And what will I do with that servant? I will remove sin of this land in a single day. In a single day. All of a sudden now we're pointing to some event or some act that is going to take away all the sin of mankind, and it's going to be done at once. It's going to be a single act. In a single day, it's all going to be taken care of. Not an annual renewing of the covenant, not an annual sacrifice, not a daily on and on and continual. It's going to be done in a single day. 500 years before the Messiah comes is what's going to happen, that he's going to take this sin away. Then you start to back up also. 750 B.C., we find Isaiah saying things like, surely God is my salvation, my Yeshua. He has become my Yeshua. God has become my Yeshua, my salvation, my Jesus. Okay? And then, of course, we have Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So here is the Savior, here is the Messiah, the descendant of David, ruling forever. He's been saying it for 750 years. We know that. All right. Can you keep going back? Yep. Keep going back further. Psalm 118. David says, the Lord, now then here's the use of the Lord as the sacred name of Yahweh. Okay. He is my strength and my song. Yahweh has become my Yeshua. Anybody that doesn't believe in the Trinity, we got to have a discussion, okay? Yahweh has become Yeshua. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's already speaking that. Then he reminds God, and God tells David, yes, I've sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm throughout all generations. I will do that. He says several times, I'm never going to quit doing that. That will always be happening. This is what the Messiah will do. This is what the Messiah will be. He'll be the salvation. He will be the Messiah, the anointed one that is to come, fulfilling all of these prophecies. So that was 1000 B.C. Moses comes along, 1500 B.C. This is the first time that the word salvation is used. Moses is singing a song to God after God has spoken to him, and he is coming up to the edge of the promised land with the Israelites. And he sings this song, and it starts out, the Lord, Yahweh, is my strength and my song. Again, Yahweh has become my Yeshua, my salvation. So 1,500 years, Moses is already saying this. Now then, the interesting thing too is, as Moses comes up to the edge of the promised land, God says, you know, you're not going in, sorry Moses, but there is one that's going to lead you into the promised land. He's going to bring the sinful Israelites into that land of promise that I have told them, and this man is going to be Yahushua, Joshua. Embedded in this is the first use of the combination of Yahweh, Yehu, and Shua, Yeshua, Yehushua, the Lord is my salvation. Joshua. A hint of the Messiah who's going to bring sinners into the promised land of heaven and save lives there too. So you continue to back it up further. Then you come to Joseph, son of Jacob. The Jews have always spoken of the dual nature of the Messiah, Messiah ben David, the descendant of David who is going to rule forever, and Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant. Because all the way through the Old Testament, somehow Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, the Messiah is going to suffer somehow, maybe even die somehow. So they see this dual nature, Messiah ben Joseph, Yosef HaMashiach. And Joseph tells his family, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So as a precursor, Joseph saves the life of many Israelites and his family, and the Messiah, Messiah ben Joseph, will save the many lives of humanity, whoever believes in him. So Yosef HaMashiach, or Messiah, son of Joseph. So this is how far it goes back, and you think, well, that's got to be the beginning. That's where it all started and everybody knows. No, there's another one. Because 4,000 years before Christ, we find Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of who the Messiah is going to be and what he's going to do. And in Genesis 3:15, God says to Eve and Adam, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. The seed of a woman. That's not normal. It's always the seed of man, Abraham's seed. This is the seed of woman, proclaiming the virgin birth. The seed of the woman is going to do something. He shall crush your head, and God is speaking to the serpent here, and he says, this seed of a woman is going to crush your head. Jesus overpowered, he has victory over Satan and all that he does, and Jesus proclaimed, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So he will crush your head, Satan, but you're going to strike his heel. As the nail was driven through the heel bone of Jesus and into the cross, Satan struck his heel, but the ultimate victory was that the Messiah would crush Satan's head, and that's what Jesus did. So from the very beginning of Scripture, they've known. They've known Yeshua. Yeshua has been spoken of. Messiah has been spoken of. This is who it will be. Can you go back further? Yeah, we can. Then you understand through Scripture where he says, Yeshua was chosen before the creation of the world. And even in Revelation, when John says, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Once again, if we don't believe in the Trinity, we're missing a lot of information and knowledge of who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. From eternity, infinity, he was chosen. He was named, he was proclaimed. The Lamb that was slain from creation, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the eternal knowledge of Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach has been spoken of for eternity. They've always known. So from before the world was created, before time began, from all eternity, Yeshua has been. He has been. He has always been recognized as, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, this is who was born to us this day in the city of David, a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah has come. Let's have a prayer. God, we stand absolutely astounded in the presence of eternity whenever we ponder what you have done in our lives. Here we are 2,000 years after Christ, and it still amazes us what you have planned out for us for eternity. We thank you for your Son. Jesus, we thank you that you willingly came to the earth as Emmanuel, God with us. God, we thank you for the birth of your Son. Without the birth, he would not have lived a sinless life. Without a sinless life, the crucifixion would have meant nothing. Without a crucifixion, there wouldn't have been a death. Without the death, there wouldn't have been a resurrection. Without a resurrection, our faith would have been worthless. We would still be in our sins. We thank you, God, that this day your Son is born. In Jesus' name.